Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Every year, the nonprofit Landmarks Illinois selects 9 landmarks for the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation Preservation Award. The award honors work that upholds Driehaus's values around preservation. 2 of this year's awardees fall within the St. Louis Public Radio service area, Millstadt Water Tower in Millstadt, Illinois, and the Edison Avenue Arts Lofts in Granite City, Illinois. In a moment, we'll meet 2 Illinoisans who have been part of work on those Southern Illinois honorees. But to set us up with some background on the awards, we're joined by the president and CEO of Landmarks Illinois, Bonnie McDonald. Bonnie, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Elaine, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here.
So, Bonnie, tell us, who is Richard H. Driehaus? You know, what are the need-to-knows about him?
Yes, Mr. Driehaus was a incredible preservationist who had really devoted 40 years of his life to his personal preservation projects in Chicago and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And he began to see the real benefits of preservation from a community and economic development standpoint, and that investing in the places that we care about was benefiting the entire community from multiple vantage points. So Mr. Driehaus was an investor. He ran an investment firm in Chicago and served clients all across the country. And he was very successful at that. And because of his success, he started a foundation in his name, the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation, which has been working out of Chicago now for about 40 some years. And Mr. Driehaus became a partner with Landmarks Illinois in the 1990s. Mm. And this was the first of his named awards beginning in 1994. He has passed, unfortunately, several years ago now, about 3 years ago. And so we are honored to continue his legacy of celebrating the model projects that are really providing people with the inspiration to do this kind of investment work in their communities.
Mm-hmm. Can you provide a couple of examples of some of these landmarks that have been preserved through the kind of work that you've described?
Oh, yes, of course. You know, we have in the listening area, for example, we have the 2 award winners we'll talk to today. But in addition to that, you may know the Collinsville Water Tower, the ketchup bottle water tower, which is certainly a landmark. And you're going to hear more today about the importance of water towers in people's lives and people's communities. We also have the Buckminster Fuller Dome Home in Carbondale. Mm. And some of you might have heard of Buckminster Fuller. And through Mr. Driehaus's generosity, investing in the work that we do, we've been able to make grants to several organizations across our state. We're working in Cairo right now on properties that are going to really help revitalize that city. So Landmarks Illinois is proud to be working with somewhere around 200 projects currently across the state going on at any one time.
Mm-hmm. What is maybe the biggest project and the smallest project right now that Landmarks Illinois has been working with, just to give us some sense of scope?
Yes, of course. I would say that some properties that you may be aware of, working on the Coliseum in DeQuoin, for example, that is associated with the state fair that's happening. You know, that we have 2 locations of our state fair in Illinois, so ensuring that we are helping to preserve the important Coliseum associated with the state fair. So that's a large project that we have going on. The smallest may be working with the community of Brooklyn, Illinois, which is right across the river.
Yes.
And some of you may have heard of Brooklyn because of, thankfully, the incredible attention that they've received, due in part to our listing of the community on our most endangered historic places list. It is the first freed person town in the entire country, started by a formerly enslaved woman who moved from Missouri to Illinois to plat this, register this first community. So that would be a community that's, I think, 900 people. It's very small, mm-hmm. but so substantial is their history to not only that community, but the nation as a whole.
Mm-hmm. So returning to the Richard H. Driehaus Award, What qualifies a landmark for that, and what does the selection process involve?
Yes, Elaine, let me say that, you know, of course you're using the word landmark, which is in our name, Landmarks Illinois, but it's very important to let our community know that it's not just what we call capital H historic properties, those that are listed in the National Register, or properties that would be locally designated, like here in the city of St. Louis. It may be properties like the Water Tower that don't have the opportunity because there isn't a local landmarks ordinance in that community, but they're still important. So we say capital H, those that are designated, and lowercase h, still important, still an older property that has historic value to the community. So just to say, it doesn't have to be a capital L landmark to be an award winner. It's a place that is significant to the people in the community that have identified it for investment and that have moved forward to revitalize this place, you know, putting in principles that meet the needs of that community. Mm-hmm. So that is what qualifies it, is the work needs to be done. What's the process like, though, is that each year we put out a call for nominations all across. It's really a call all across the country. If you know of a place in Illinois that is has been rehabilitated, that is a stewardship, that a community has been substantial advocates for a place and has really showed what the inspiration of what can be done, we want to hear about it. So people from here and beyond send in these nominations, and then we pull a jury together of professionals as well as advocates who have expertise in preservation. We had, for example, Lauren Parks on the jury last year from the House of Miles in mm-hmm. East St. Louis. So we bring people from across the state to help advise us on what they feel are the best model projects, because we can only select 9 per year. That's our limit. Very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. So you have mentioned a couple of times Water Tower, and I want to make sure that we don't pass by one of the representatives of a Water Tower that is being recognized this year. Betty Keller Timmer is president of the Board of Friends of Old Millstadt Water Tower. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
One of the things that we want to highlight is what is near us in our listening region. But this water tower is near you and where you have lived for a long time. Can you talk with us about this award that the Friends of the Old Millstadt Water Tower has received and why you and your community members started advocating for this historic structure?
Well, the story for me on the water tower is that as long as my dad lived, I never drove in snow. His theory was it's easier for me to take you and get you than pull you out of a ditch somewhere. So that was fine, but he died when I was 23. Mm-hmm. So then whenever there was snow in the forecast or it was snowing in the morning, I'd get a ride to work. But if it snowed during the day, I'd have to get my own self home. And there was a many, and I worked in Belleville, which is 7 miles east of Millstadt. I'd be hanging onto my steering wheel for dear life coming down the highway. And when you're about halfway home, you catch your first glimpse of the water tower. And it's like, I'm going to make it. One more night, I'm going to make it home. So when I heard, I'm a member of the Millstadt Historical Society, and when I heard that the village was thinking of taking the tower down, it was no longer in service, I was like, we got to do something. So that's how I met Judy DeMoise from Collinsville, and she was my mentor. And she gave me suggestions on what we needed to do, and it was a community-wide effort. We, if you name it, we did it. We tried just about anything to raise money. And Bonnie had mentioned earlier about pies. One of our members is a very good pie maker. Her name is Mary Ann Schaefer, and we would have bake sales, and we wouldn't price anything. It was all free will donation. She got $100 for a cherry pie.
Oh, wow.
Award-winning Mary Ann Schaefer pie.
So talk with us about this water tower. What does it look like? You know, how tall is it?
It's the painters told me it was actually 200 feet. I thought it was more like 168 feet. And it's visible in all directions around Millstadt. I mean, you can see it as far south as Waterloo, which would be about 12 miles away. It's a little glimpse on the map. When we started the project, the tower had been painted white with the Millstadt logo on it. And the Millstadt logo was designed by the owner of the Millstadt Creamery in the 1940s. So that has become the symbol of our town. And it was faded. The tower was fading and rusting. and it was no longer in service. The village had gotten a loan from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to build a new water tower and expand the sewer plant in the early 2000s. But part of the agreement was they would have to maintain the tower. And then they ended up getting a waiver to get out of that agreement. And that's why they were thinking of taking the tower down. And that's when I got everybody worked up about it and mobilized.
Mm-hmm. So the award that you all received is specifically for advocacy. Bonnie, what was it about their work that stood out to the folks who are part of the jury making decisions about this year's Driehaus Award winners?
Mm-hmm. Well, you've already heard how persistent Betty is in talking about how important the water tower is to the community of Millstatt. It was really a model for us of the power of people to identify for us what's important to them, to seek out the resources and assistance that they need. We have been proud to work alongside Betty for a decade at this point. Frank Butterfield, who is now our chief operating officer, was previously our Springfield field office director and met Betty and saw just how inspiring and convincing, you know, and motivating she is to people in her community and beyond to come together, you know, to mobilize, to save a place that's important to them. And honestly, that is the best preservation advocacy that we can model is somebody just like Betty.
Mm-hmm. Another awardee this year is the Edison Avenue Arts Lofts in Granite City, Illinois. And Mark Stroker is the director of retail sales for Rise STL. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the award that you all received was for something called adaptive reuse.
Yes.
So can you tell us what it is about adaptive reuse that you and your colleagues and community partners were so interested in and committed to?
Sure. It's a big part of what we do at RISE. I'm actually the director of real estate development with RISE Community Development. So with my job principally is to find opportunities, work with community partners to develop affordable housing and preserve affordable housing, lots of historic preservation. And Edison Avenue Lofts was, like a lot of things that we do, kind of a very deliberate effort. But it also came out of just an opportunity that wasn't on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these buildings, if you don't do adaptive reuse, it's difficult to find a way to repurpose them. In the case of Edison Avenue Art Lofts, it was an old YMCA. The USO had used it as well. It had a wonderful history, but it was not coming back as a YMCA. It was not going to be used by the USO. The uses were limited, and one of the best reuses is if you can create community space, creative space, art space, housing, affordable housing. In the case of Edison Avenue Art Lofts, it's affordable housing and units for artists, including a unit for an artist in residence, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm.
It quite honestly is the way that we at RISE are able to preserve a lot of the buildings that are part of our mission.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of the Edison Avenue Art Lofts?
Sure.
And maybe what part of that history made it something that the surrounding community did not want to lose?
Yeah, that's a big part of the story, Elaine. So the old YMCA, the building, I believe, was built in 1927, if I remember correctly. And for most of its life, it was a YMCA, complete with a swimming pool, bowling alley at one time. Eventually, they added racquetball. But everybody in the community, and I say that almost without exaggeration, has a story about the YMCA. Spending time there, learning to swim there, spending their summers there. In the case of one of the champions of the project that lives in Granite City, he actually stayed there. He lived there. The stories are varied and touching and funny. I think this is maybe appropriate for St. Louis Public Radio, but everybody wants to tell the story about how the men, because it was the YMCA, would swim, and they all learned to swim, and none of them are bathing suits. They all learned to swim naked.
Okay.
And so I got that story more than once from various people who had been there. But it did. It sort of ran its useful life. Eventually, they built a new facility down on the port, just a little bit west of in Granite City, still, but west of downtown Granite City. And there was some talk of tearing the building down. There are other buildings in Granite City that have been lost to demolition. So we were approached by my partner is friends with SWIDA, the Southwestern Illinois Development Authority, and asked to talk with some of the stakeholders in Granite City, and went about putting together a plan to basically redevelop that property, find a good new use for it, and bring it back to life. In its later days, this was kind of fun too. So in its later days, it had been used as a haunted house. So some organization used it as a haunted house.
Okay.
And then when it wasn't being used as a haunted house, it was being used as a training facility for the Illinois State Police or for other law enforcement officers. So when we would traipse through the building, when we first were beginning, there were coffins and corpses and bullet casings from the training. And so it's had an interesting history. And
yeah.
it's a pleasure to be able to bring it back so that it wasn't lost. It's a wonderful building.
We're talking today with Mark Stroker, Director of Real Estate Sales for Rise STL, which is the firm behind the Edison Avenue Art Lofts in Granite City. Also with us is Betty Keller Timmer, Board President of Friends of Old Millstadt Water Tower. Both landmarks are recipients of Richard H. Driehaus Awards for Preservation. President and CEO of Landmarks Illinois, Bonnie McDonald, is with us as well. What does this recognition mean for the water tower or for the Edison Ave Artist Lofts? Mark?
Well, it's an honor for us. So as an organization, we're honored. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's a big part of what we do. We have several historic rehabs going on right here now in St. Louis and in our footprint. But quite honestly, the most significant thing is what it does to advocate, to bring sort of a spotlight to this kind of work, and to have folks find a way to keep doing this, to find buildings and other sort of future landmarks that are, either waiting to come down or waiting to be put back together and restored.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Betty?
I would say that, in Millstadt, we always think we're just a little speck on the map. And to be recognized as one of nine locations in the whole state for an honor like this, that is wonderful community promotion. So, and I think now, we are getting people that are coming to town to see the tower. So, because, I've been talking about it, and I basically talk nonstop about it for 11 and a half years. I never stop talking.
Yeah. So. Do you have a little post there that you go to on a regular basis now?
We do have a little display case where we had received an award from St. Clair County Historical Society in 2021. And then we got, as an organization, we were recognized by the Chamber of Commerce as the Business Persons of the Year in 2023, I think it was. And so we have basically a little trophy case now in front of the water tower. And that was donated by one of the local contractors for us. And they did the landscaping. So, I mean, it's little things like that. I always say, the most people we had in the organization at any one time, I think we hit 15 at one point. But when I would put out the call for a bake sale, we had one lady that baked enough stuff for three bake sales by herself.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, it was just incredible. I'd say, okay, we're going to have this half marathon biathlon or half marathon 5K run, and we need volunteers. And Mary Ann would go to work. She was a runner, so she knew a lot of people from that end. I knew people. We'd go out and we'd get sponsors, and it was just an incredible amount of support.
Mm-hmm. Elaine,
just a comment on what you're hearing is the passion that people have for these places that are vital to their communities, that are about identity, that are providing for the needs of a community, like accessible housing. The value of this from our perspective in giving these nine awards is also to bring attention to the need for more resources, because Mark's project is it was tough. It's complicated to try to mobilize the financing that you need. We often call it lasagna financing because you have to layer so many different sources together. And with Betty, bake sales, incredible, but why did we need to have a bake sale? Why do we need to have dozens of financing sources? So this award is also about calling attention to the need for more resources, for more support, because this work is vital. It is important for so many reasons that have been talked about today, as well as sustainability, culture, providing people with gathering places at a time that we want to come together as communities. So this awards program is not only about celebration, it's about mobilizing support as well.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, what were,
or maybe what was the greatest challenge in that lasagna, as Bonnie has said? Is there one that stands out, Mark, to you?
Well, we specialize in lasagna at Rise. So that is one point I did want to make, is that these are very, very complicated projects. And the resources that are available are limited. The competition is stiff. It took 4 years to get the full final capital stack, all of the ingredients that we needed for the lasagna, and including state historic credits from Illinois through a pilot project that they had started. You know, we don't mind doing the hard work. It just would be nice if it was easier to access the resources and get the projects, you know, kind of done. Mm-hmm. We don't mind doing the work. We just need help, and we need good partners like Landmarks and the other advocates for historic preservation that do this work, mm-hmm. including many of them that were on our team.
Betty, was there a point at which you thought it's time to wrap this up?
My husband kept saying, "We're not going to give up. We're going to see it through to the end." And I truly believe God led us every step of the way, because there was many a night I'd go to bed and I'd say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do now?" And then, boom, another idea would pop into my mind and we'd go from there.
As we wrap here, Bonnie, is there something about the current moment that makes decisions around what to preserve and what to let go, so to speak, feel especially significant or urgent?
Well, we are certainly living in a moment where it is so easy to be polarized. And unfortunately, we are talking about the topic of history and the importance of knowing our past to our future. And certainly as a civilization, knowing who we are helps us to determine where we're going. So, you know, we've seen polarization around history. And I think these projects are urgent because they show us how they can actually bring people together. That when we find a common purpose and a common narrative, that we can actually be more, you know, more powerful together working toward these revitalization projects, which are so critical to the future of our communities. Not only, you've heard from Mark, it's providing something that is needed, but, you know, it's also a beacon of hope at a time when we want to see things that are hopeful and optimistic and positive. When you see that water tower in Milstead, you feel this sense of pride and joy for what can be done. And so I just want to say that there's the celebration is important, and joy and hope and pride in our communities is something that we can all rally around.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave the last question to you, Betty and Mark. In the spirit of celebration, how all will you be celebrating this recognition, Mark?
Well, we will certainly let all of our friends and partners out there in the world know about it. We're honored to be able to attend the ceremony in Chicago the weekend of the November 7th, the evening of November 7th. Some of my colleagues will be there attending it. But we will use it as a way, quite honestly, to kind of promote the significance of this work. As Bonnie mentioned, it's important to preserve history. We find that a lot of the work that we do catalyzes additional development. We're working on a project called Marquette Homes right now that includes the old South Grand Arcade at 3600 South Grand. And I don't think there's a person that travels the Gravois Grand Corridor that doesn't know about that building and isn't super excited. Mm-hmm. It'll manifest and it'll catalyze other development for mm-hmm. sure.
Betty, how will you all be celebrating?
Well, my husband and I are going to be attending the ceremony, and what we're hoping to do is we've been hearing for a long time about putting a light on the top of the tower, and we're hoping that with this money we'll be able to go ahead and get the solar lights put on there.
Solar lights.
Well, yeah, we can don't have, when they have a power bill to pay. We want to
sure.
do it one time and be done.
Bonnie McDonald is president and CEO of Landmarks Illinois. Betty Keller-Timmer is president of Friends of the Old Millstatt Water Tower, and Mark Stroker is Director of Real Estate Development for Rise STL. Thank you all for joining us today, and congratulations.
Thank you
very much, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Darius Varner.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.